Hey there, before we get started today, I wanted to invite you to a free workshop that I am doing next week. The workshop is all about three reasons why homeschooling feels hard and what we can do about it. I've identified three reasons why maybe your homeschooling feels a little bit more difficult, and then I have some very actionable strategies for you to help you create a homeschool life that runs with just a little more ease, and I would love for you to attend. It is next Tuesday, June 18th at 3:30 p.m. Central Time. And if you can't come, register anyway, because we're going to send you a replay that you can watch or just listen to until the end of the month. You can find that at pambarnhill.com/easy, and we would love to have you join us. Are you ready for homeschooling to feel joyful again? Do you long for support as you learn alongside your kids? Welcome to Homeschool Better Together, a podcast about building a homeschool experience that works for your family. I'm Pam Barnhill, and it's time to step out of the overwhelm and into the wonder. Let's do this. Katie Kimball, the national voice of healthy kids cooking, is a former teacher, two-time TEDx speaker, writer, and mom of four kids, who founded the Kids Cook Real Food eCourse, which was recommended by the Wall Street Journal as the best online cooking class for kids. Her blog, Kitchen Stewardship, helps families stay healthy without going crazy, and she is on a mission to connect families around healthy food and teach every child to cook. I think that's an awesome mission, Katie. Welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Pam. It's a joy to be back.
It is so good to have you. Okay, so just let's remind everybody a little bit about you and your family.
Sure. So I have been working online since 2009. I was sort of an accidental entrepreneur. I started as an elementary teacher with a couple of years teaching third grade, but I knew I couldn't do that job well and do the job of parenting well. So home I went. My oldest is now 18. So, you know, I was a very long time ago that I was in the classroom. So he's a high school graduate. I have a 15-year-old in high school and a 12-year-old middle schooler and a 9-year-old elementary schooler. So we've got like all the, it feels like all the ages, all the phases, except the little ones, you know. And they help me in the business, which is super interesting because they get to see what I do and they get to be in our videos and, you know, kind of get a paycheck, so to speak. And my daughter, the 15-year-old, not too long ago said, you know, Mom and Dad, it's not fair, because my husband is an entrepreneur as well. She goes, It's not fair. You guys don't go to work. Like, we don't have any example of anybody leaving the house and going to a normal job. So none of us know what to do other than working at home. And that, you know, we don't know what to do. So it was just kind of funny. Like, it's not fair. You guys aren't normal.
But it's such a good life. So there you go.
It is. I just think she does. She can't like look into her own future and think what would she do as a business? But she's like, this is what I want.
Yeah.
I just don't know how to create my own job like this. But she's only 15. So
yeah. Okay. Well, and I like to tell people all the time, like the job that I do now was not even invented when I graduated from high school, you know?
Same.
And same for you. So yeah. So like, there's like, just take your time and look at your options for sure. Mm-hmm. So, well, you have made a name for yourself in teaching kids how to cook healthy food and teaching them also how to be confident in the kitchen. I know like one of the favorite things around my community is your knife skills class. So what made you interested in teaching different other life skills to young people as well?
It was really listening to our audience, to tell you the truth. Back in 2020, my whole team said, oh my goodness, parents are losing their minds because summer camps are closing. Like, we have to do something. Like, we're in a great space to do something. And we just decided to give away our whole cooking class for free and call it a summer camp. It was just kind of like risky, but it was weird times, right? And it was lovely. It went amazing. 10,000 families joined. And at the end, they started saying, this was great. I can't wait to come back next year. And I thought, oh, I'm doing summer camps now. Okay. Just like it happened, but I couldn't give away my class every year. So I have to I wanted to create some other ideas. So one of the questions we ask our cooking class members is, why did you want to teach your kids to cook, right? Like, why did you do this? And the top chosen answer year after year is, I want my kids to have life skills. So I kind of spun off that and thought, well, I can't teach all the life skills, but what if I could bring in other experts and create this life skills summer camp where it's kind of everything? Because I have always said that I want to teach kids to be confident in the kitchen and that confidence spills out into other areas of life, right? We know that, which is so beautiful. And so it's just a very small extension of teaching kids to cook because it continues to build that confidence. And like you said, gosh, we don't know what jobs will even be accessible to our kids. So it's not about, you know, career training. Parenting and academics and schooling is not about career training. It's about life training. And so I'm just so excited to be part of that.
Yeah, that's awesome. And, you know, as important as it is for everyone to learn basic cooking skills, sometimes you have kids who are like, okay, great, I can now make the pasta, but I'm not sure that this is where my interests lie. And so doing some other things where they might actually, you know, catch on to something and like grab a spark for it and really like some kind of woodworking or carpentry or sewing or whatever it might be, you know, then you get different life skills where maybe a little spark comes there.
Right. And Pam, I'm thinking of a particular child in our Life Skills Now Camp season one. So that's 2 years ago already. I think he was about 9. And his mom wrote in and said, we are shocked. We did not see this coming, but our 9-year-old took a class on how to be a great podcaster. And it was a really interesting class. It was really on how to interview well, which was cool because that extrapolates to, it's basically how to be a good conversationalist. And she said, and he practiced, you know, interviewing everyone in the family. He got incredibly into it. And he's really, really good. She said, I never, ever would have guessed, you know, that my kid, he may or may not be an interviewer or a podcaster as a job, but it's this whole field that they never imagined. And he found, like you said, that spark just by trying, you know, this 10-minute video workshop on how to ask good questions. It's so fun to hear these stories.
Yeah. And even if you never make a living at it, podcasting is such a fun hobby. I mean, you could just do it for the pure joy of doing it. It's not an expensive hobby as hobbies go. And that's fabulous.
Yeah. And you get to meet a lot of people, you know, as a podcaster. So that's the kind of thing where I just think, oh, what a gift that this life skills camp can be in just, you know, I can't introduce my kids to 100 different skills based on my experience because I don't have them. But if other experts, you know, can introduce them to things like bicycle maintenance or auto maintenance, or like you mentioned, sewing was last year in season two, we had some sewing and, you know, gardening. I am a super brown thumb. So I need other people to introduce my kids to gardening if that happens to be one of their passions, just about opening a bunch of doors and saying, all right, kids, you know, which ones do you want to knock on? Which ones do you want to walk through?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about this for just a minute because I want to talk about the term life skills because I was like sewing and, you know, we've talked about cooking and gardening and then you said podcasting. So what exactly constitutes a life skill when it comes to the camp? What do we mean by that term?
That's a great question. And this year in season three, we do have 100 workshops. So obviously it's very wide and varied breadth of what we cover. I look at what I call the hard skills and the soft skills. So the hard skills are those things you're doing with your hands, like we've been talking about. And then the soft skills would include more like stress management, communication, how to use technology to your advantage instead of its advantage, for example. And so we just think about what is something that's not an academic subject, right? That we don't teach in our homeschool curriculum, but that will definitely help kids as they move on into life. And so part of that too is entrepreneurship and thinking about your career and future and goal setting and stuff like that. So there's a lot in that soft skill category and there's a lot in the hard skill category. So there's really something for everyone.
Yeah. And last year you guys did like pasta making. That was one of the fun ones that, you know, was so appealing. And like the floristry, like arranging flowers. And that's just like, nobody ever taught me that. And what a wonderful skill to have. So when your husband comes home with the bouquet of flowers or you go to the grocery store and pick them up and you come home and you're like, now what do I do with these?
Right. Because they always look like they're sort of an inverted pyramid when you first bring them home and you put them in the vase and you go,
just like flop them down in there and they just kind of do this. And you're like, well, they are pretty, but I'm sure they could be better if I had some skills. But, you know, it's not necessarily something that people think of as life skills, but it really is a good one to have. And then I love the focus on soft skills, those kind of, you know, interacting with other people and interviewing. So what I asked you to do when you came today was to bring me your top three life skills that you feel like kids are missing out on and that you guys address in the camp. And you cheated, didn't you?
I always cheat. When I go get ice cream, I ask for two or three flavors on one cone or in one dish. So yes, I couldn't just choose three specific topics. But I think what I really thought about, Pam, is like, okay, so we're going to teach dusting, you know, we're going to teach sweeping, so on and so forth, those hard skills. And I thought, well, a lot of parents can teach those to their kids. Yeah. Like that's not groundbreaking that they're the top life skills kids need. But I was just thinking about the shift that has happened in the digital age. You know, we are parenting without a handbook in the digital age, and we did not get to even see our parents attempt to model a lot of the decisions and philosophical choices that we're having to make as parents. So it's very, very difficult. And our kids' childhood has changed a lot. You know, childhood in general has changed. So I thought, what are those skills? Like, what are those skills that are becoming lost arts in the digital age? So the three I hope to talk about are face-to-face communication, like actually using words that come out of the mouth instead of out of the thumbs. the real value of money, because it's so interesting. Kids don't always see like dollar bills, you know, or whatever currency that your country uses. And then the idea of, in our digital age, we do tend to have really packed, busy schedules. And so I think in the farming community, people didn't really need stress management, maybe. So it's sort of those calming skills and how to keep yourself focused in a really busy, noisy world.
I love all three of those so, so much. And I think they're so vital to the challenges that not only we face these days, but our kids face as well, you know? So let's break each one of those down and talk about each category and some of the classes that are available. So let's start with that first one about face-to-face communication. What is Life Skills Now Season 3 offering for that?
Sounds good. And, you know, I think of a story that I heard from a counselor once who was trying to work with a very young child, and this child could not make eye contact with her. He just kept looking down, and she thought, I can't figure out like what this kid's block is, until she had the mother in. And while she was trying to communicate face-to-face with the mother is on her phone, looking down.
Oh.
So the child was literally modeling that. And that just crushes my heart. And I know, I mean, I have teens in public school, and they say all the time, in spite of the rules that you're not supposed to have your phone out in the classroom, many teachers don't care about those rules. Kids are on their phones all the time, and they're at lunch and they're on their phones instead of interacting. And it just breaks my heart. So we've got to give our kids the skills to be human to human. And so Jennifer Scott is an etiquette expert. So she talks about building polite communication skills, including eye contact, this, you know, amazing thing that our kids need to know.
It's novel, and who knew it would be?
Right. Who knew we would have to teach that? Like, that's just something right. that used to happen, but now we actually have to intentionally teach that. Joey Massio is a former high school counselor, and he's going to teach how to easily start conversations for teens. Like, literally, what do you say? Because they don't know. They don't know anymore.
I need that class. Thank you.
I know, because we get a little nervous, right? Yeah. We feel judged. We don't want people to think like we said the wrong thing, especially females. I think we get a little, you know, more worried. When I look at the difference between my daughter thinking about social situations and my three sons not thinking or caring as
not
much
caring.
About social situations. Yeah. So especially for our little girls. And then Joanne Crone is teaching how to talk with someone to get what you want. So this is the art of negotiation in a really polite way. And so this might be, you know, your parents. This might be a teacher that you need something from. This could be an employer or even a sibling. And she teaches how to really politely ask for what you want.
Yeah.
And plead your case. Yeah. And she has fun with it. Like, I haven't seen the whole thing, but I've seen little bits where she's like wearing a baseball cap backwards and stuff. So she demonstrates all the wrong ways to, you know, state what you need. And so that's fun. And then my kids and I filmed how to order in a restaurant. Just, you know, how to be polite, how to be prepared and think ahead about what kind of questions a server will need to ask. And I think, I mean, that's a very specific skill, but that can also extrapolate onto other conversations, just the executive functioning skill of thinking ahead, like what might I be asked in this conversation or in this situation so that you're more prepared. Because I think especially for little kids, when they're unprepared, and they're not sure what to say. They have trouble, at least a couple of my boys have trouble thinking on their feet. So yeah, I think it's really special to teach your kids to plan ahead.
It's so interesting. I have one kid. I won't throw the kid under the bus, but whenever we go to a restaurant, this kid says, "Will you order for me?" And not a young child, teenagers. I have all teenagers now. And so I'm like, well, sure, but it's not that hard. You know, so apparently it's something that would probably be good to practice a little bit.
Yeah, I look at my husband as a computer programmer, so he's an introvert. That's interchangeable language there.
Yeah.
And he kind of looks back at his upbringing and says, you know, my mom packed my lunch for me all the way through senior year, and she would order in a restaurant for me. And he says, I wish she hadn't. Like, I would have hated it at the time, but he wishes she hadn't, because even now when he has to make a phone call, he feels like he's a lot more kind of clenched up and nervous than he would be had he been nudged to do that. And in fact, actually last year in season two, or was it season one, we did teach how to make a phone call. And it was so cute because so many parents, especially of like the 5, 6, 7 age group, said, oh my goodness, I didn't even realize my child had never talked on a phone.
Yeah.
They'd only looked at the screen,
yeah,
you know, and they were so grateful. They said he called grandma and had a conversation with her, or, you know, my aunt was having a birthday, so he called his great aunt. Super sweet.
I love it. I love it so much. Yeah. And as a fellow introvert, I hate making a phone call. I can put off making a phone call for weeks at a time. So I totally get it. Yes. Maybe I need to watch the class. Okay. Well, let's move to that second category, which I think is so important. We've been fortunate because my kids have worked in food service and have gotten tips. And so they know the value of especially ones.
Right.
That's where most of your tips got. They're always saying, can I give you these 20 ones for a $20 bill? And I'm like, I don't have a $20 bill because all my money is digital. So let's talk about that. How are we going to help them see the value of physical money?
Yeah, it's so interesting to kind of try to see through the perspective of a younger child or even a teen in this day and age, because they don't see the transaction
right.
of the dollars and cents actually leaving my pocket and going to the store.
Right.
Right. So especially the younger the child is, the more it's magic. They just tap this card and then we walk out and we have what we need. Like they don't see it anymore. And so that's why I love our finances track. Every year, you know, it's really, really different. So last year, my daughter and I filmed a 3-part series at the credit union of how to open a checking account, how to use your debit card, you know, and how banks and credit unions are different and what it means. And so it's great. She actually asked to make a deposit today because she babysits. So she does get the cash too. So we're, you know, we're going to the bank and she always has her debit card. She's saved a couple of her friends, in fact, recently, who went out to eat or went out to do something that needed money and they didn't have enough with them, you know? And she's like, I got my debit card. You can pay me back, you know? So it's kind of nice that she's got that foundation. So this year we are teaching how banks work to little kids, like what it means when you put your money in the bank and what the bank does with that money that earns you interest and so on. Kaylin Wood's talking about savers and spenders. That's for little kids too, just to inspect, like, are you a saver or are you a spender? And how can you shift to the middle a little bit, right? And then the Texeras, who were some favorite camp leaders from last year. Last year, they taught how to be generous with your money, which is, it's like near and dear to my heart, just, you know, giving and tithing and stuff. This year, their workshop is called Cash Cards, Clicks and Taps, How We Pay for Things. So they're absolutely pulling apart what it means when you make a transaction at the store. And then my son, Paul, he's my 18-year-old. He's our video editor for all of these. And that's the business he started. We had two entrepreneurs raise another entrepreneur. Go figure. The other day he goes, oh, Mom, this workshop is such a bummer. And I'm like, oh no. Like, what did the camp leader do wrong? He's like, no, it's good, but it's just a bummer because it's about your paycheck and what's taken out of it and what you get to keep.
Yeah.
He's like, it's so depressing.
And it can be even worse when you're an entrepreneur because they don't take out enough.
Right, right. So he was like, I know. Like, it's good. It's stuff kids need to know or teens need to know. But it's just depressing me.
It is depressing. Well,
at least it wasn't a mistake. Like, it's just real life and growing up. And then Brad Jared, he's a real interesting camp leader. He actually runs a business that helps men work on both their finances and their health at the same time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So he's tackling compound interest as a financial thing, right? Telling teens, like, the earlier you invest, the more you can make compound interest work for you. But he takes a super interesting twist on it because of the health, like, lane of his business, to say, you know, every decision you make earlier, if you start getting half an hour more of sleep today at the end of a year, right, you're so much healthier. If you eat more vegetables starting today, like, basically applying compound interest to other areas of life. So that one, I think, sounds really fascinating.
I love that. Yeah. And such a great audience for that, with teens, to hit the money portion, but also some of these other health things as well. So yeah, love that so much.
And we try to keep that really varied too, by the way. I'm hoping that your listeners are noticing, like, we have a little, you know, younger child workshops for our elementary age and the teens, and then parent workshops too. But we're not talking about the parent workshops today, but they're there.
They're there. Yeah. Something for everyone in the family, for sure. Okay. So let's talk about that third category, which I thought was fascinating. This kind of self-regulation category in this really busy, tech heavy, almost like cortisone heavy world that we live in.
Right. The statistics on anxiety and depression are, well, they're depressing. They're really depressing, right? I believe it's 1/3 of our teens are clinically depressed or anxious. And far more than that, going up every single year, say they feel anxious on a regular basis, or they worry about their future on a regular basis. And again, like you said, we're just bombarded. In this screen culture, we're bombarded with things that turn on our fight or flight and keep it on. And we don't have that pastoral life where we get to ride in a covered wagon for an hour. You know what I mean? Like, there's just, there aren't, for most of us at least, there aren't times built in where we're just resting our bodies and breathing slowly. So we got to teach it. So Dr. Jihan is an integrative pediatrician. She's teaching tools to be calm for kids to use. And a lot of that has to do with our breath. And so what a beautiful gift for a little kid. You know, my third grader's going into standardized testing weeks here. And the teachers say you can feel it in the hallways. You can actually feel that the third and fourth graders' stress is up. And I know all your homeschoolers are going, yeah, girl, that's why you should homeschool. I know. I know. So I get that. But these kids really need to be able to use the tools that are in their bodies, like their breath, to find their calm, whether it's a test, whether it's a big argument with their sibling, or their mom said, honey, you need to do your after meal chore and wash the counter. Yes. Because sometimes that's a meltdown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Completely. Yes. So much. And what I love about teaching them to use their breath to do this is they've always got it with them, right? It is 100% accessible all the time.
Yep. Exactly. Dr. Pedram Shohai, he's known as the urban monk. He used to be an actual monk before he got married and had kids. So he has a really interesting perspective. But he's teaching 5 morning routines that are, he calls them Jedi routines. So there's different ways to sort of connect your brain and your body to get everything in alignment. And that helps you be focused for your whole day, especially in, like, really busy days when you're doing a lot and you're task switching, or you're doing some maybe heavy academics or some heavy work in whatever, soccer or drama, you know, whatever your kids love. It's just kind of getting their brain and body in the best state to work together and be fully balanced. And then the last one I want to highlight is for teens, and it's called Mastering Resilience, Unleash Your Inner Warrior and Conquer Challenges with Confidence. So that one, I don't know a lot about the guts of that one yet, but it's just, it sounds so clear. Yeah, it's so clear that teens need it.
I love this focus on self-regulation. You know, as homeschoolers, we're often talking about how can we help our kids be more independent, because we're usually teaching 3 or 4 kids, different age groups and things like that. We've got a lot of plates spinning, little kids around, babies, toddlers. How can I help this kid be more independent? And we always think about that in the terms of the academics, but also what a valuable thing for them to be independent in that regulation. So with self-regulation, and they're able to handle a lot of that stuff themselves, without dependence on mom, who's over here doing so many other things at the same time. So what a gift to give your kids to really focus in on some of those workshops, you know, as a family, and talk about them and, you know, use them throughout the summer, practice them and get ready to go with them. So
And I think the adults will learn a lot too, not only from the workshops for parents, but even a lot of these skills that kids are being taught, we never learned.
Yeah, right.
As kids. you know, so the grownups have a lot of fun and a lot of learning.
Yeah. And you can just be incognito. You're just watching it with your kid. They don't have to know you don't know.
Exactly. Because we're the expert and the authority in everything. And yes, I'll listen into your workshop.
Okay. So let's tell everybody how this works, because we actually have a little bonus if they go and register now and then tell us how the whole program works, because it's free, right?
Yes. Yes. Life Skills Now Summer Camp is completely free the last week of June. So just, you know, whenever you're listening to this, we've got another one coming in June, but this one, season three, is in 2024. But as soon as you sign up, you'll get 13 workshops that you can start using right away during your homeschool day, or, you know, on a rainy day when your kids can't go outside, just to have a little something extra. And that's actually 5 from season 1, 5 from season 2, some of our most popular, and then 3 brand new ones never seen before from season 3.
I love it. I love it. So that's whenever you register, that's your bonus right there. You can register for the camp. It's completely free. And that comes up in June. So the videos are released every 24 hours and you go and you can choose ahead of time which ones you want to watch and pick them and go in and start working out your plan. And then if you feel like you need a little more time, you can purchase a pass, correct?
Correct. Yes, to keep forever. So June 24th to 28th, each 24-hour cycle will have a different set of around 20 workshops. And you can print out that itinerary. I love seeing pictures of kids with their highlighters, you know, choosing their topics and the speakers that they want to hear from. And then during the week, so not only can you participate in the workshops, but we also have so far over $7,500 in prizes.
Oh, fun.
And we're still building. Yeah. So all of the workshop teachers, the camp leaders, they give kids a mission at the end, because my goal is really productive screen time here, right? Like, let's use technology for good. Let's get on that screen for like 10, 20 minutes and then go away, get off into the real world, do something with what you've learned. So as soon as a child or teen or adult completes the mission that the camp leader gives them, they can enter for a prize, and they can choose those prizes on any day. So even that is a practice in executive functioning and organizing, you know, in choosing what you're interested in and maybe saving up some missions from other days and shooting for your favorite that's on Thursday or whatever. So yeah, the prizes make it really extra motivating for kids. We want them to be intrinsically motivated, that ideally, right? But yeah, it's still kind of fun to have those prizes there.
And what a fun experience. Like, it just makes the whole week just a fun experience for everyone, you know, where you can participate. And so, yeah, I love, love, love this so much. So do go. We're going to put the link in the podcast description, in the show notes. And so you can click on that link and go register, get your bonus classes and start with those. That gives you something to do until the end of June rolls around. And then, like, make your plan and be ready to go with camp the week that camp starts. So love it so much. Well, Katie, thank you so much for serving families by putting this together. This is awesome that they have the chance to just really experience all these things that parents probably don't have the time and don't necessarily have the skills to teach themselves. And so as a parent, thank you so much for providing this for everyone.
Well, you're very welcome. And I learn a lot too. Just don't tell my kids.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Katie. That's our show for today. Be sure to follow, subscribe, and leave a review so you never miss out on the wonder of homeschooling better together. To stay connected and learn even more about the Homeschooling Better Together resources and to join our free community, visit hsbtpodcast.com. Until next week, keep stepping out of the overwhelm and into the wonder.